direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
Well, we're so thankful you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. We are continuing, as we have been for many weeks now, our study in the Gospel of John. And today we come to John chapter 10. You were with us last week and listened to Abounding Grace. You know that we dealt with John chapter 9 and Jesus' healing of this blind man. And we studied what happened in that account, how Jesus was teaching us the great need that we need to have spiritual sight. Only the Lord can do that. And then we saw the awful scene of the Pharisees and the religious leaders pouncing on this man, excommunicating this man, even though the Lord himself had given him sight. Well, today we study the Lord's response to this. This is John chapter 10. And let me begin today by saying that we live in a world of people who basically live out the course of their existence never knowing what it is to be loved, never knowing what it is to be received and accepted, never knowing what true joy and freedom is in the gospel. If I said that, and you're a Christian today, you're primarily thinking of unbelievers, I'm sure, and you would be correct. But what if I said that such a phenomenon is the case for many Christians? It's a sad, tragic reality that so many in the visible kingdom have not come to know what the love of Christ is like to his sheep. Why is that? The reason is because throughout history, those who often stood claiming to be shepherds in Israel ruled God's people with force and cruelty. And the result was a bunch of confused, ignorant, miserable people who rarely heard or understood anything of what the Apostle Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus, that they would be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. It's that kind of situation that's before us this week on Abounding Grace Radio in John chapter 10. Things had gotten so bad in Israel that the whole thing had been overrun with false shepherds. And the devil had gained such a foothold among the church, among the people of God. The only way it could be recovered was by the good shepherd himself, the only true shepherd. And that's what this is about. Jesus is going to say very plainly that he alone is the good shepherd. And the only way of enjoying this abundant life that he has the power to give is through him alone. That's the main point. So you can see this morning how important it is to understand that what we're studying is vitally connected to John chapter 9, what we looked at in this healing of the blind man. There we studied that illustrates the great truth of what Jesus speaks about in chapter 10. In fact, there really should be no chapter break here. It's one continuous story, so that verse 1 comes right on the heels of the judgment pronounced in verse 41. I want you to remember the scene for a minute. Jesus has healed this blind man, and he was illustrating the truth that he had come for judgment, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. Here was this blind, poor beggar, born blind from birth. Jesus has compassion on him. Jesus gives him sight, telling him to wash, which illustrates the great truth of the blindness of our hearts we looked at last week and the need for us to have spiritual sight. The rest of that account was the awful scene of the Pharisees just attacking this man. They didn't care about him. They lived for self-glorification. They were all self-appointed. And the whole time, Jesus has been telling them they don't even know God. They were trampling God's people, ruling them with force and subjecting them by guilt and force to their ridiculous interpretations of the law and their browbeating traditions. Oh, this is a big problem today. This is a big problem. This goes on in the church on a great, They were so out of control that they were casting out anyone who disagreed with them. They didn't care about God's people. The only true people were those who only agreed with them. Everyone else was false. This go on? This a reality? That's exactly what's happened in this text. In verse 34, they had unsynagogued this man that Jesus healed. They had cast him out. They had excommunicated him from the fold of Israel. They were false shepherds. They were not in it for the sake of the people. They didn't care for them. And that's how it all ended last week. The question that we all had is, what did Jesus really think about them casting out this man? What was Christ's response to this? That's why it's so important this morning to see that what we're studying is a direct response to the religious leaders excommunicating this man. In fact, verse 21 ends with them referencing the blind man. So the blind man's on their mind. So Jesus now, in response to this, in response to their false excommunication of this man, gives a little, literally, a wayside proverb. What follows is the closest thing to a parable that you get in John. It's a proverb-like allegory. Let's study it. In verse 1, this is what we read. The beginning, it's one of the most beautiful descriptions of Christ's mission and relationship to his people as the alone faithful shepherd in Israel. Here's what it is. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Let me paint the picture of what Jesus is describing. Because everyone in Israel would have understood the basic metaphors he was using. Throughout Israel, you had a main plateau, and then you would have hills and rocky, and they would be rocky and steep, and you would find sheep constantly being led by their shepherds to find grass. They were in constant danger, things that they were exposed to like ravines and valleys and wolves, and it took great care on the part of the shepherd to protect the sheep. Everyone knew this. So in each village, after a long day, they would be brought to the common sheepfold. The sheepfold was a wall or hedge made of stones used to protect the sheep. So the end of a day would come, the shepherd would bring his flock into this large enclosed structure through the only door. And a porter, a doorkeeper, would guard them in the fold all night. He would stand watch at the door. In the morning, the shepherds would return, and only the shepherds could enter through the door. Jesus says in verse 2, "He who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls them by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." So early in the morning, he comes to the sheepfold door, and all the shepherds have come, one shepherd at a time, and they would begin to speak. And the sheep would recognize their shepherd's voice and come to him. They listened. They obeyed. And so Jesus says they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know his voice. And then he gives this description, and think of the whole situation here. They've excommunicated this blind beggar. Verse 2, "He who climbs up some other way is a thief and a robber." The thief and the robber had two purposes, to either fleece the sheep or to slaughter them. So this is a really beautiful word picture he is giving. Now everyone to some degree understood what he was describing, but what we're told in verse 6 is that they did not understand the implication of the proverb. In other words, why is Jesus telling this? Sure, they knew about the sheepfold, the door, the sheep, a shepherd, But what does Jesus mean by using it? Look, they should have known exactly what he was describing. Who's standing in front of him? You have a poor beggar who was abused, disregarded, hurting, empty, naked, and shamed, whom Jesus had just healed, whom Jesus had just laid his loving care upon and healed the man. No one cared about this man. You would think that the religious leaders would have greatly rejoiced over his healing. The angels in heaven rejoice over one man's repentance. But yet next to that man, with stones in their hands, are the very leaders of Israel. All they wanted to do was cast this man out and condemn this healer. They've modeled nothing of what the Old Testament spoke about. Didn't they know what it said? What was the cry throughout the Old Testament, dear radio listener? 1 Kings 22:17. I saw all Israel scattered upon the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. Ezekiel, and the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you've not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty you've ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. What did the Lord promise in that section? What Jesus is about to say is a direct fulfillment of this. I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. Do you see in John 10 that Jesus is declaring himself as the fulfillment of these promises? When Jesus was out in the wilderness and you read he was burdened, what did he say? He was moved with great compassion when he saw the multitudes. Why? Because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. That's what Mark says. The feeding is what was important to the Lord. They weren't fed. They weren't cared for. And what was the feeding? It wasn't just filling bellies. It was teaching, dear listeners. It was filling them with the bread from heaven. He gave them the doctrine. They needed the teaching. They needed the truth. Oh, I lament today that Israel again is full of shepherds who aren't feeding the people with the word of God, but are feeding themselves off the fat of what the people give. The preacher, the teacher, is called to feed the flock. And here we're seeing, dear listener, that Jesus Christ is the only good shepherd. He's the only one who ultimately feeds us. He's the only one who has the power to shepherd us and bring us safely into the fold. So are you being fed today? Have you come to Christ? Have you believed in him? You see, Jesus alone is the good shepherd. And all who believe in him, all who come to him, all who trust in him are given access and are led in and out and find pasture. Dear listener, come to the shepherd. Come to Jesus Christ. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you the invite to join us for worship 10 a.m. on the Lord's Days and 6 o'clock p.m. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel continue to richly bless you.